Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
Welcome in to another edition of the Financial Flight Plan podcast. I have been George alongside Bree Reyes of Estes Financial Services. Today we're talking about lies you learn in broker school. We're going to try to pull back the curtain a little bit on some of the financial statements you might have heard at some point and kind of explain what they really mean and what you need to be on the lookout for. So that's going to be a fun conversation. We've got another mailbag question to get to. We're going to get to know Bree a little bit more today. But we got to start off with a little personal bit of information from Bree. What's going on with Nate these days?
Nate had his first kiss on Saturday. Yep. We were with a good friend, family friends of ours, and we went out to brunch after swim class. The kids had swim class. And this little girl in his swim class, Allie, she was so cute. She grabbed his face and cuddled it and then pulled him in and gave him a kiss. So at 2.5, kid has moves.
Obviously. How did he react?
He gave her a big hug, which I think is the appropriate reaction to Allie. They knew each other, so then they hug and play all the time, but it was the first like non-mom kiss.
That's precious. So what was your reaction?
I tried to grab my phone. I wanted to record that one. I couldn't get it on time, but we got a good couple of them hugging and playing. So
awesome. Well, that's very cool. Nate is quite the man. We appreciate Nate. He's great. We love him, and we love hearing about what's going on in his life. So glad that he's healthy. Everything's going well, and he's enjoying.
Everything's going well, and you know, we just have a wedding to plan now in approximately 20 years.
Already, we're jumping ahead. Got to start saving now.
Well, her mom and I are good friends, so we wouldn't be opposed.
Great. Well, very cool. We'll have to see how that progresses over the years. If you haven't joined us, thanks for joining us here on the podcast, also on YouTube as well. Great to have you there. This is the Financial Flight Plan podcast, where we talk a lot about investing, retirement planning, and we do so with Bree Reyes, the investor coach and certified financial planner at Estes Financial Services. Their office is right there in Fort Worth, but they serve all the Metroplex area. And you can find them online, estesfinancial.net, which you should check out for past episodes of this podcast, along with a lot of other resources. Plus, you can find them on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. There are a lot of different places. So connect with them, Estes Financial. So let's jump into today's main topic, and it's lies you learn in broker school. You know, a lot of financial professionals say things that just really aren't true. And it's not that they're always, you know, trying to mislead you. It's just they've been trained to use certain talking points, which, you know, some of them might actually believe to be true themselves. You never know. So we're going to talk about some of the statements that you need to be cautious about when you hear them come from a financial advisor. And before we even mention these statements, Bree, I want you to clear up the difference between a broker and what you do. I think that's the first thing I need some clarification on.
Okay, this is a really good question. The difference between a broker and what we do. We are a fee-based investment advisory firm versus a broker, which usually charges a commission. So meaning if they tell you that they want to buy widget A stock, they're going to get paid for that transaction. And then when you sell widget A stock later on, they may make a suggestion, they'll get paid for that transaction as well. They're called commissions. Brokers usually charge commissions. We are fee-based. Huge difference. So we don't get charged for the individual transactions like a broker does. And part of that is by design. Dad started out in the brokerage world when he got his license, because that's all that was available. Fee-based practices were not really around in 93. And then when I joined the industry in 2004, I joined a large wirehouse. So it was more of a brokerage situation. And they were just kind of starting, and they had some fee-based models. But the problem as a trainee there was that in order to stay employed by them, I had to produce so much every month, quarter, year type situation. And you got more points for being a broker than you did trying to build a fee-based business, at least at the time. So, which was almost 16 years ago. So it was a bit of a different environment than we currently are in. And you do learn a lot of sales training, talking points. And there's one on this list that I truly believed at the time, and I will own it and we'll talk about it a little bit. But it just kind of happens, especially if you're a trainee and you're new in the industry and you haven't grown cynical yet.
Well, good. Well, that kind of clears up what the differences are. So let's talk about some of the statements that you referenced, some of the sales training and techniques that you might hear when you're working with someone. And the first one is, we have experts who can accurately predict market movement.
Yes. Experts, also known sometimes as analysts. Large wirehouses love their analysts. Analysts get paid quite a bit of money for what they do. And there's usually a blind loyalty to the company's own analysts because their research is free. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Because you pay for it as part of your commission versus some other analysts that if you try to follow another outside analyst or an outside subscription service, the firm that you're with may not pay for it. Scary, huh?
Yeah.
So they're going on the advice of somebody just because they're also employed by the same company and their research is free. Hmm. It doesn't matter if it's good.
Yeah.
It's free. Buying loyalty to anything is never a good idea.
Yeah, that's great advice just across the board.
It's taken me a while to learn that one sometimes, but yeah.
You gotta learn the hard way occasionally.
Yeah, we do. We do. I'm thinking of football and sports, but yeah. I know.
We all have that team that we're embarrassed that we pull for, but we're so loyal to the bitter end. And one of these years it's going to pay off.
Oh, I've been a Cubs fan since I was born. So I did see that one pay off. Grandparents didn't, and they were Cubs fans too, but I did.
The long-awaited year. It was finally the year.
One. Can we get another one?
Let's get back on the lies. We could talk about baseball and sports for a while, but let's move back into the number two statement that you got to be cautious about here if you hear this from somebody. If they tell you, just look at our past investment returns, and you can see that we have a system that works in all markets.
Past performance is not indicative of future performance.
I've heard that.
It's on everything. It's in little teeny tiny print at the bottom. Nobody actually really talks about it except for Dad and I make a big deal out of it because Dad uses a great analogy. It's like driving around looking through your rear view mirror. You can see everything that's going on behind you, but who knows what the road ahead may look like. You know, you could be Thelma and Louise-ing it directly off of a cliff and you're not looking forward. Past performance is not indicative of anything other than past performance. It doesn't show where the investment's going to go in the future. It doesn't show that you're on a good financial plan or the investment's following your financial plan. It's really not indicative of anything other than what happened in the past. And all markets, a system that works in all markets, run for the hills. Nothing works in all markets. And anyone tells you that they can predict how something's going to work in the future, okay, I'd like to see their DeLorean.
Right, exactly.
And why are they even talking to you? Because if I can tell you how something's going to work in the future, I'm sure as heck not sharing that secret. Nothing works all the time. Technology just failed us a minute ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Recording this podcast. Nothing works all the time.
I was going to say, if you knew what the future held, you'd be on a beach somewhere scuba diving all day while you were working the market to incredible returns. That would be your...
And I would not be sharing that secret.
That's all yours.
My family wouldn't know how to get a hold of me. What are you talking about?
So be aware of that statement. Here's the third one. And I think this is my guess. Is this the one you're referencing when you believed back in the day that it might be true itself? But the third one is your tax rate will be much lower in retirement. So why do we need to be cautious with that statement?
Yeah, you caught me. This is the one that I believed in, and this is the one that I have told people about, and this is the one that I helped. I fully believed this, and this is part of the reason we have our ticking tax toolkit, which I know we're going to talk about in a minute. I firmly believe that in retirement, our tax brackets, you would be in a lower tax bracket. But, and really, this the only way we could invest at the time Roth 401ks weren't really an option. So there was not a lot of tax planning that we could do back then that you can do now. And so it really was our forced option. But I firmly believe this. And we're just not seeing it work that way. Up to 85% of your Social Security is now eligible for taxation. Your Medicare premiums, those are based off of your income. And some would say that's a tax on a tax, but there you go. Our tax brackets right now are some of the lowest that we've seen in decades, and I don't imagine they're going to go any lower. We've talked on this podcast before about the debt calculator and how if you feel like you need an anxiety attack, that's a great place to go look. Not that I encourage anxiety attacks, but you know, if you feel like you need one, take a look at how much this country's in debt.
It's true.
We're going to have to get rid of that debt. The best way for the country to get out of that debt, there's two ways. And unfortunately, there's two ways. And there's two things that you as a retiree can't control. Inflation, because you need to eat. And so you're going to end up spending more money than you want. And taxation. And taxes are going to have to go up. And in a way, with the SECURE Act, they just did, at least on inheritances. So I see taxes becoming a bigger and bigger issue as we move forward into the future. I see more and more things being taxed. And I firmly believe this one. This is a myth or a lie that I propagated as well. This was one that I wasn't intentionally trying to mislead anyone, but I was trained to talk about it and it made sense to me at the time. And it maybe worked for logic back then, but it doesn't work anymore. And it's something the industry itself has to recognize and acknowledge. But yet, I still hear this one. And I'll give you a perfect example. Joaquin, my husband. This has happened to him twice now, two different employers. They've had their financial advisor for the plan come into the office and take a look at Joaquin's contributions and his allocation. And then he always gets complimented on his allocation, which cracks me up because he didn't do it. I'm like, thanks, I did a good job. But the other one is I helped him. Maybe he did it, but with some advice. The other thing they always, this is the second time it's happened, and it happened to a couple of our other clients there too. They, you're contributing to the Roth 401k. Well, you're screwing up your taxes now, and you're going to be in a lower tax bracket in retirement. This myth is still being, or this lie is still being told by the financial services industry. And the funny thing is, one time Joaquin just put me on, he just reached over the phone and dialed on speakerphone. And said, it was the guy was hounding him really, really hard. He went, hey, honey, will you explain this to him? Didn't tell him who I was. And so I explained it to him, the gentleman on the phone. And I went, here's what we've got, you know, this, and this is going to be taxed, right? Yes. So I want more taxable income in retirement. Gee. And we're in low tax brackets now. Real quiet there for a second.
Yeah.
I went, you should probably know what I do for a living. Please stop talking to these employees. Yes. About taxation. Unless you're a CPA, please stop. Don't give tax advice. I don't even give tax advice, other than the fact that this is not the only way that it can work.
Right. And if you're wrong, you know what? You've got a lot of extra money that you had planned for.
You have a lot of tax-free money later on. I'd rather have tax-free money than taxable money because I don't know where the interest rates were. The top tax bracket at one point in time was 90%.
Jeez.
Can't imagine. For every dollar that came in income, 90 cents went out. Now it's been a while since we were there, but we've been there before. It's just something to think about.
Yeah, no question. And it could get a lot worse. So that's the third one. The final one is this statement. It's just a paper loss. Hang in there and you'll be fine.
Okay. This one always drives me nuts because it doesn't feel like a paper loss. When people see their statements and see they have a certain amount of money and then they see their statements later on and maybe they have a significantly lower amount of money because of a bear market or something, it's a loss. It's a loss. And my industry as a whole doesn't really, we're not good about investor feelings. We don't like investor emotions. We don't want to acknowledge our fears. You'll be fine. Wait it out. And that's something that Dad and I really, really concentrate on as investor coaches is making sure we understand our clients, not only their risk tolerance, then their personal risk tolerance. Not, hey, could you theoretically take a 10% drop? No, really, here are the numbers. Would you be comfortable with this? And then number two is we talk a lot about the psychology behind investing. and how losses do affect you. And we get it. I mean, I understand it because I don't like seeing them either. But we have to acknowledge that that fear is there. And just saying, hold on, or, you know, you're a nervous Nelly, or some of the other things that I've heard just breaks my heart for the investing population. So on behalf of financial advisors everywhere, if you've heard this, I apologize.
Apology accepted on behalf of the listeners of the podcast. But yeah, these are all really just some things you have to kind of be, maybe raise an eyebrow when you hear and understand that these aren't completely accurate. In some cases, not accurate at all. But you might hear these when you're working with someone. And if you do, just have a bit of caution, step back. But I know the biggest one we talked about and spent some time on was taxes. And that's one that even you kind of believed at one point, and you're going to hear, and it seems like it makes a lot of sense. Your taxes rate will be lower, but you got to plan for this to not be the case. And part of doing that is to reach out to you and your team, Bree, and you can call anytime and just tell them you listen to the podcast, you watch on YouTube, wherever you listen or watch this video. The Ticking Tax Time Bomb Toolkits is going to be such a huge resource for helping you prepare for that.
Exactly. In our Ticking Tax Time Bomb Toolkit, that's a lot of T's, by the way. We have, and I've talked about this on every podcast, I think, we have a really great book that talks about your financial flight plan. Obviously, we are aviation friendly around here. There may be a photo of one of Dad's A7 Corsairs right behind me. So we are, we use a lot of aviation puns in the office, but we talk about the 7 lessons to save your retirement. And the next thing you get is a CD, and it talks about what is the ticking tax time bomb and kind of signs that maybe you might have a tax bomb and might need to start thinking about how to lessen the explosion of it. We've got 2 special reports, the 5 risks that could destroy your retirement, and then a tax special report. Tax laws change all the time. So it's something to think about. It's something that's in there as well. And an investor awareness guide. If I was going to put a price on all of this, it's $97 is the value. But we send it out to listeners of the podcast and viewers of the YouTube channel for free, F-R-E-E, free. It's a recording of whether or not you have a time bomb. Sorry, I said CD earlier. It's a recording. And so, just give us a call, request the toolkit, subscribe and like the program, all these wonderful things, and we will get it out to you as soon as possible. And then once you take a look at it, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to call our office, because there's a lot of really thought-provoking ideas in there. And so we get a lot of people that want to come in and talk more about it. So 817-444-8402 if you'd like to request it. Once again, 817-444-8402 to request the toolkit. And give us a call.
I've heard a lot of good things from people that have requested that. So, take her up. I mean, free. You'll never beat free. There's nothing you can go wrong with this free, especially when it can even save you more money. You're actually getting money back, I guess, in theory, Bree, by reaching out and getting this Ticking Tax Time Bomb Toolkit. So you can do so by calling or reaching out to them online. Either way, just tell them you watched the video, you heard the podcast, and you want to learn more about how to save money and taxes.
It's getting to know you time.
Moving on to our getting to know you question with Bree, one of my most favorite segments of our show. And this,
because it makes me nervous.
It does. And it always gets reaction from me and from listeners as well. I'm sure you hear it from your friends. And sometimes Joaquin, I'm sure he probably has.
Yes, my husband always has an idea.
This question today is, what does your morning routine look like?
This is a really good question. Joaquin, it works at a company that works 4/10s during the week. So we have a very rushed and hurried morning routine. We get Nate off to school. I come into the office and I usually have about an hour to myself to think, plan my day, time block, be mindful, maybe do a meditation before everybody comes running in and we get started. We have a morning meeting of the entire team every morning, and we talk about where we are and what's going on for the day and things we need to work on. And so it's a pretty rushed time once everybody gets here. So I like my morning time just to myself.
What time does that day start in the morning back at home?
5:30.
Whew. That's an early one. But with kids, you gotta do what you gotta do to get them up and get them out. So yeah. Well, cool. That's not a controversial statement at all then today on getting to know you. So just a good look into what Bree goes through in the mornings to get prepared for the day. So thanks for sharing.
It's time for the mailbag. We want to hear from you.
Time for our mailbag, where we take a question from a listener. It can be on anything. Whatever's on your mind, you can reach out to Bree and her team at Estes Financial. Send it our way. We'll bring it onto the show. You can leave a comment under the YouTube video, wherever you want to connect with Bree. And there's many different platforms you can do so, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, website, phone, whatever it is. Send a question in. We'll bring it to the show. We'll let Bree answer it for everybody and try to give you some feedback. Today's question comes in from Cliff in Arlington. He writes, I told myself that once I hit $1 million in my portfolio that I move a lot of money to cash. But now that I'm at $1 million, I'm thinking I can get to $1.2 million before I make that move. What do you think?
I think, Cliff, trees do not grow to the sky. And what I mean by that is I don't love putting everything in cash. I don't necessarily love that idea. But maybe take some of your profits and take some of the money that you've made and think about doing something else with it. I'm not saying get out of the markets entirely. I'm just saying maybe diversify your portfolio a little bit. Make sure you're properly asset allocated. But don't allow greed. Two things move markets, and two things control investor emotions, fear and greed. Do not allow greed to get the best of you.
I would imagine, too, that the $1 million, I mean, I guess $1 million is a great number, but doesn't necessarily mean you're in great shape, or you could be in really, really good shape and don't even need to keep investing. You can just kind of settle in and be conservative.
It depends on a lot of different factors. It's something to definitely talk to a certified financial planner about.
Absolutely. So, Cliff, a lot of options I think you got with that decision, and it's a good spot to be in. So congratulations on hitting that $1 million. That's a pretty special occasion. Celebrate that. But then use an investor coach and certified financial planner like Bree and her father, Tim, to help you out and decide what's best to do with that money. It's not always black or white cash or investing. There's some other options in between. A lot of different things could impact your decision, and they'll need to know more about that. But thank you for that question. We appreciate that. And again, Cliff, or anybody that has something on their mind that maybe doesn't want to reach out here to the podcast, feel free to connect with Bree over the phone at 817-444-8402. Set up an appointment, set up a time to sit down and just talk with Bree. You know, open up about what's on your mind, what are you thinking, what do you want to accomplish. And they have many years of experience working with people to set up a plan that will be effective for you and you alone. It's customized for you. That's the whole idea, is to be about you and your money. So connect with them on that. Bree, I enjoyed the conversation. I'm glad you helped us understand some of the lies of broker school, clear that up a little bit, and send Nate our congratulations for that big.
I will. And all you listeners, go out and viewers, go out and lead an abundant life.